Well, that none of us today are still at that point of deciding and what our lifestyle is, what our thought patterns are concerning our initial relationship with Jesus Christ. But the sad thing is that a lot of people do live their lives concerning the stewardship of the time and the ministry that God has given us, thinking, well, things just happen. Well, what really matters if I never get it completed? Well, but I thought things just happened. And being in a rush and living our lives, we never really see the life that God's given us to live in such a way that we see ourselves as what Paul wrote and challenged us in 1 Corinthians 4, to consider ourselves as stewards, to be servants of Christ and stewards that are found trustworthy of the time and the mysteries of God. And so I hope that that was some light entertainment. In no way did we mean to make fun of people that have not entered into the kingdom of God, but to make us see ways that people have chosen to live out their lives, and hopefully a challenge that that will not be the ways that we choose to live the life that God has given us. And I can think of no more exciting thing. I guess every person that has shared out of conviction and excitement over the things that God has called them to share about. But I'm excited just about the few minutes that we're going to have this afternoon, and then we're going to have some time for you to get out and just walk around and pray in some time of personal evaluation of your ministries over the last semester or months, however, wherever you're living and whatever situation it's in. But I can think of no more exciting opportunity than considering and seeing through God's perspective the real challenge, the privilege, and opportunities that we have of being able to co-labor with God, of being able to be in a place and through prayer and through beginning to sense and pray that God would reveal to us where His activity is. And then as we avail our mind, as we claim the verses that we have the mind of Christ, begin to co-labor in such a way that we create a conducive channel in the worlds in which we live through which the Holy Spirit can work most effectively. And that's what we're going to be spending some time looking at. It's not a matter of us doing God's work at all. God has always been and will continue to be throughout the universe and throughout the days of our lives the active agent. And so it's not a matter of us doing the work, but it's simply a matter of us being the channels through which He does the work. And so in one sense, there is the element of us just being His instruments, that daily we yield ourselves, we joyfully place ourselves as instruments in His hands, not as what Paul wrote in Romans 6:13, not to be instruments that are lived out in sin, but to be instruments of righteousness. So in one sense, we are those instruments in God's hands, and yet in another sense He's given us the privilege and responsibility to be co-laborers together with Him and to work with Him. And that's the exciting challenge before us. If I could try to capsule the purpose of our time, and we've split it up, we're going to spend about 30 minutes right now just doing kind of an overview of where we're going. I'm going to give you about 30 minutes to get out and do some evaluating, and then we're going to come back and review on the time. But if I could share just an overview of hopefully our purpose, and then I think we have some time Saturday to sum up and get into some steps of planning. But the purpose that I see of this time is hopefully as God enlightens you and in your situation, that you would leave this time being better stewards of your own time and efforts, and that you'd also be better equipped to be a more faithful steward of the time and efforts of those that you're directing. And what I've put together and what you'll be getting, I kept thinking that I'd be able to find a book or a tape or something that I could just lift out the material and be able to give it to you. Well, I didn't find that. It shows how diligent I like to work and how faithful I am. I wanted to just get it and be able to give it to you. But what will be shared is just from personal study, from the scriptures that I've done, from a lot of trial and error, a lot of falling on my face and thinking, oh, this doesn't work. It would be better if I'd done it this way. And then from some materials that I've read. And just putting it together, I was kind of reminded of the antidote that I'd heard about a man back in the days of the Civil War. He was wanting to write a book and was wanting his book to be successful. And so he was taking a poll as to what would be something good to write a book on. And he talked to one person, and this one person said, well, it's the days of Lincoln. It would always be good to write a book on Abraham Lincoln. He talked to someone else, and someone else suggested, well, medicine is always a real popular topic. If you were to write a book on medicine or something in the field of science, that would be very beneficial. And talked to someone else, and someone else said, well, animals are always something that you can write on. And so he was so confused, he came back and began to think over what would be the topic of his book. And so one night he got the idea of what his book would be, and he'd entitled the manuscript Lincoln's Doctor's Dog. And so I feel like in some ways that's what you're going to be getting in the next 2 to 2.5 hours. It's going to be a compilation of things here and there. And I've already prayed that the real key to the success of this time will be as you yield your hearts to the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. There's no way that I could make this directly applicable to everyone's situation. We have so many different situations here. Some of you on the college campus, some of you in church situations, some of you working in depth and one-on-one relationships. And so I have fought the frustration of how can this time be the most applicable. And it, again, has just brought me to the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one that can guide us into application. And so that'll be my real prayer, is that as you listen, your heart will be open to the application that the Holy Spirit will have for us. If I were to give you a list of some things like a leadership team meeting, a freshman rally, a Sunday school class social, a Saturday shopping spree with a friend, and reaching the world for Christ, would you be able to run through all those things and come up with a common thread? Well, hopefully you would, because I know a lot of you know what it takes to experience those things. But the common thread in all of those is that planning is required. There's the matter whether you're going out on a Saturday trip with a friend to just go out and have fun, spend whatever money that you have, or attempting to reach the world for Christ. There's the matter of before God, sitting down, thinking through what needs to be done, and making plans to do it. And so if I were to give us a working definition of planning for our time, it would be that planning is the process of predetermining a course of action. And I want to key in on two of those words. One is that it's a process. And I think in my early days of beginning to be exposed to planning, everything from thinking, oh, I need to plan to study tonight for a test, to in the early days of ministry, thinking, oh, I need to plan for this ministry, I began to realize it didn't just happen. There were steps. And we're going to be looking at 5 essential steps to planning. But planning is a process, and it's a process of predetermining the course of action. I'm sure all of you have caught yourselves in the bind of being in a situation of, oh, what am I going to do? And it's already there. But a key to effective planning is having a process that predetermines the course of action that we want to take. And so this is what we'll be looking at. A lot of the things that I want to share just in terms of overview have already been touched on, and so it'll be a review, but hopefully it'll be a time of deepening, just some of the things that we've talked about. I think both Judy and Helene talked upon the fact that God is not a God of confusion. And I guess if there's been one major character quality of God that I've grown to love and draw upon over and over again, it's been the fact that God is not a God of confusion. And I'm so grateful for 1 Corinthians 14:33 that spells that out, that God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And whether it's been times of my trying to figure out Ralph, what he's meaning in this situation, or what he meant, or trying to balance my checkbook and realizing there's a check gone, or whatever the frustrating situation of going back and realizing that in all that God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. And if the challenge really is before us in Ephesians 5:1 that we're to be imitators of God, I can think of no greater challenge set before us as Christians that we should be women that are planners. We should be women that have orderly lives. I'm sure you can think about people that are always running around almost like a chicken with its head cut off, and there's just something about their lives that doesn't radiate the Spirit of Christ. And if God's activities are characterized by a sense of peace and orderliness, so should our lives as we reflect God. I never will forget those of you that have been out, I know Barb and Deb, any other people that have been around and in the home of Margaret Shelton, I've always, this was a key character quality of her life. And I can remember time and time again, as I was invited over to dinner to her, in her home, I'd come in and I was greeted so graciously, and she'd bring me up the steps, and I could see in the background that the table had already been set, even the ice was usually in the cups, but we always had time. She always had a plan, and the whole evening was usually in order. It wasn't to the point of being rigid, and it was such a spirit of peace and a sense of my visit having been planned for. And we would come in, and she wasn't running around in the kitchen trying to find the pot holder or burning the roast, but there was a sense of orderliness. And in the whole concept of planning, I think one of the key things that we should remember is that as we are women that attempt to plan, it shouldn't just be something that we do from a Madison Avenue standpoint, but because that's on God's heart, that we would be people that reflect Him. And as a result of that, we should live orderly lives. And girls, I'm convinced more and more, and this is something I don't think that I like to admit, but the more it seems that I study Scripture, the more and more it seems that disorder really seems to be a mark of carnality. It just seems to be over and over again that the ministry of the Spirit, whenever you see Him in action, whether it was the physical creation of the universe in Genesis chapter 1 or 3, or whether it was the spiritual recreation throughout the book of Romans, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is always in the process of bringing order in the midst of chaos. And that's a real challenge to my own life, whether it's keeping the car clean, keeping the house clean, or keeping the ministry going in such a way that it reflects that character quality of God. And it's so easy in the midst of a ministry to forget the objective if we have not sat down and ordered our times and planned out what it is that we want to be about. I know last summer a girl came up to me and was I was really excited about this opportunity. We had noticed her around the fringe of the ministry. She had not been exposed that much to the concepts of a discipleship. She had come from an active and growing church up in the city, had a lot of knowledge in her life, and wherever she went, there was a real ministry about her life because the Spirit was so evident. And yet she came to me last summer and said, "Pam, you know, I'd really like to learn, if there's any way that I can, how to begin to pass on the Christ that lives within me into the lives of others." And so we decided that we would begin to spend some time together this year. Well, it was about halfway through the semester that I began to realize, sat down, began to think through, okay, now how are we doing in the time with Sandy? How is God directing that time? And all of a sudden, I realized my prime objective in being able to help her in any way pass on skills in the area of one-on-one or discipling, I had forgotten about. Her strengths were in the area of Bible study, and I'd had all these good thoughts all summer. I'd prayed over it and had thought through things I wanted to do. But because I never sat down and really outlined a plan, it was about October one day, I was thinking, oh, no. Here she is. We've done Bible study. We've prayed. We've done all these things. And I really believe those were good things to do. But one of the prime objectives that I wanted to do was not done with Sandy, simply because my planning for her was not done in order. And so there were a lot of weeks that we just kind of met and we did things, but the primary objective was not done. And it's so easy to do that, whether it's forgetting to book an event or contact a speaker for a ministry or to share a special insight with someone that God's laid on our heart, unless we determine to be planners and to reflect the God that is a God of order, not confusion, we miss out on so many opportunities. So let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner. We're commanded to do this. Another thing that I believe as Christians that we're challenged to do in the area of planning is to think ahead. And in some of the groups, Christian groups in particular, this is not advocated at all. But I think it's very evident throughout the Scriptures that Christ Himself advocated that we think ahead. In Luke 14, I think this has even been read, verses 23 through 32, He challenges us. If we're thinking about going out and building a tower, whatever we're thinking about doing, there is the need that we think ahead. And I can't think of a greater challenge in my own life to think and to think and to think and to be a person of forethought. But as Christians, and especially as commissioned by Christ, to think ahead and to plan ahead is of primary importance. Another reason behind the need to plan is that we should be moving in the direction. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 26, you're probably again familiar with this passage. But Paul is writing, I can just sense that he's writing his heart out saying, man, we're in a race and we need to run it. I grew up dating a guy, his little brother was in track. And so every Saturday when we went out to the track meets and saw the different track, events, I guess. And never once did I see the gun go off or the banner go down and a trackster begin to just zigzag down the course. I never saw that at all. I mean, they always had their eye on the goal, and that was it. And that's the challenge before us, that we sit before God enough and sense the activity in a situation long enough and plug our lives into the channel through which the Holy Spirit is moving in such a way that we move toward the goal. And the goal begins to be closer and closer and closer until we see it. You probably had days like I've had where at the end of the day I just sat down and said, Ralph, I just didn't get anything done today. Or I didn't do anything. And he said, did you not do anything? And as we began to think back, I did things, but a lot of things were things that didn't count or didn't add up. And you've probably had days like that, that you were busy. You were just tired at the end of the day. But as you look back over the things that you did, you were either interrupted with little things that really didn't count, or maybe you were never interrupted at all. You just went here and there, and at the end of the day, the things didn't add up or didn't mount up to the real direction that you wanted to live. And that's not bad in itself for a day. But the sad projection on that is if that is a habit of our lives, the days can add up into weeks, and the weeks can add up into months. And the months can add up into semesters or years. And we look back and somehow we've kind of just been zigzagging in life because we never purposed to live and to join an activity with God in the direction that He's going. And so as Christians, we're challenged to set our lives, to plan our lives in such a way that we're moving on. The last thing I thought of, and we could go into a lot of details, a lot of sharing, but I think as Christians, we should plan because it's very evident throughout Scripture that God blesses planning. God has blessed planning in the lives of His people. You can think through the examples of Paul. Paul had plans when he went into cities. He had plans as he ministered to people. He had plans as he wrote letters back to the churches. He had a plan. There was Nehemiah. Significant men and women throughout history because they planned. God blessed. Proverbs 16:3 is a favorite of mine. Commit your works to the Lord. You have works, you have plans, commit them to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And so we need to be people that are planning and thinking ahead in such a way that the whole channel of our life is anointed by the Holy Spirit, and we look back, and it's a life of peace, it's a life that's productive, because we've spent time enough to somehow join our lives with the activity of God in a situation, and there's fruit, and there's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And I can think of no greater challenge for our lives than to be women that get in touch with God and purpose to live out our lives in those ways. Going back to look at the process of planning, I want to share with you the overview of where we're going, and then I want us to key in just a few minutes in the area of evaluation. Let's use these. The first step, and we don't have a picture on this, but the first step, and I can't overemphasize enough, is to pray. And that may sound not at all as far as a fact of planning, but I can't emphasize enough the need to plan. This is where we begin to sense and get a grasp of the activity of God in a situation. It's so easy to run into a situation, and I've done it time and time again, and drawn up my own plans. I'm great at drawing up plans. But there's been no greater joy in my life than the times that I've sought the will of the Lord in a situation, and I've plugged into God's will in that area. Whether it's developing a ministry program, a ministry structure, or finding the most specific thing that a girl needs in her life. But finding through prayer where God is working and purposing to plan around that area and seeing the gifts and the way that the Holy Spirit works. So the first step in the process of planning is prayer. The second step is that of establishing your objectives. And that's looking at the situation in such a way that you know where you need to be going. Being able to see the situation realistically and determining the course of action. What is it that you want to be able to do? Improve upon? What is it that you want to accomplish? The third step will be that of programming. And we'll be getting into this after we've set up our objectives and determine the course of our action. What is it that we're going to do? We see the things in front of us. How are we going to organize in such a way that the objectives can be accomplished? And then the fourth thing we'll be talking about is scheduling and budgeting. As we've set up the structure, as we've set up the plan that we want to use, what is the best timing? How is the best way to have it lived out? And then the fifth thing is that of evaluation. And I'm not sure if this is a good picture or not, because I don't want the connotation to be that evaluation is always the finding of something negative. Maybe that's not the picture at all. Maybe it's just someone tasting coffee and realizing they don't like coffee in the morning. But I don't know. Some of you may have organized this a little bit differently. But I wanted us to go through the overall view of planning, praying, establishing objectives, programming, scheduling and budgeting, and then coming to this. And this is where we're going to spend some time today, because I'm growing more and more convinced that a key arm in the overall process of planning is evaluating. Now, some of you, I think, Kathy, this is going to be your first year in Wisconsin. And so, in some ways, you may be limited in the area of evaluation. There may be some of you that are starting out in a new area of ministry, and so you may be limited in the amount of evaluation that you can do. I remember the first year I was out in Seattle, I got on the campus, and Margaret said, you see these 37,000 students. You're in charge of the freshman ministry. I said, what? You're in charge of the freshman ministry. I didn't have any idea where to begin or how to begin evaluating where to even start. But it's so key that as we begin the process of planning, that we gain a good grasp of where we are. Because a lot of times, if you're like me, I think, oh, this would be great to do. Let's go to New York, and why don't we leave from Chicago? When really, we're in Oklahoma. And so I fight the frustration of, well, I'm wanting to leave from Chicago, but I'm really in Oklahoma. So there's that frustration level. So I would encourage you, if this is not an area in your planning process, if it's not an area in your life, to really become a person that evaluates, that sees the situation, and from the realistic situation of where you are, knows how to set realistic objectives in light of where you are. And I can think of no greater key. A lot of times we hear that evaluation can be negative, and I guess in a sense it can be. We've heard the phrase that evaluation can lead to paralysis analysis. And we can become so immobilized that it's not good to evaluate. I don't quite think that. I think sometimes we don't evaluate enough to get the situation and from there to be able to plan. And so we've designed some worksheets that I'd like for you to take now. And I'm going to give you about 30 minutes. And I want you to just feel free to, you may want to stay in here. I'd encourage you to get out, maybe walk around, go sit under a tree if it's dry out there. Maybe you want to go to the pavilion. And this is an evaluation that's drawn up for you to use concerning the past. If you want to think in terms of semester, or those of you that are not thinking college campus-wise, to use in terms of over the last 6 months. And I've already prayed for you melancholies out there, because the purpose is not to, I got convicted and discouraged making it up. And no, it's not quite that bad. There's some sections in there that deal with you writing out what was your objective or objectives with some of your girls. I'm not looking for anything real detailed. Some of you may have had some graduate courses on how to write efficient objectives. I don't care if it's, has the verb and the action and the time. But the key is, did you have some objectives for your people? And you'll see how the evaluation goes. But we wanted you to have this time. This will be hopefully some free time and break time, at least body-wise. But take this, and let's meet back, about 4:25.
If you want to, if anyone wanted to consult us, could we be in the pavilion?
Yeah, we'll be over if there's any questions on that. But take this, and then we'll get back and summarize these, and I'll share just a few things in the area of evaluation. Oh, yes. Thank you, Carolyn. By the way, which one did you just give out, Carolyn? There, I've designed one that's for you that are coordinating a ministry. Those of you that are responsible for a specific ministry area, there's another one that I've just labeled personal ministry. There may be some of you that are not directly in charge for overseeing a part of a ministry right now. And so if you would take that evaluation that just says personal ministry, those of you that are in student work or leading a home fellowship or I'm not sure what other situation would be applicable. I don't have one specifically designed for Debbie. I think she's probably the only director that we have in here. But
she would be coordinating.
Yeah, if you could take that one that would be the coordinators. Yeah, I think there's enough. Yeah, we could get some more. So we'll meet back about 4:25. Probably go home and buy a collapse, but. Well, I don't see any wounded people or anything. I want to just share in terms of. come straggling in. By the way, it took me about 2 days to fill out this evaluation, but. There was a purpose behind the evaluation I was sharing with Barb and Sabre earlier. As I was thinking through, we here in Oklahoma, we have kind of a set standard of value that we put on our ministry that would probably be really training people in the area of Bible study, getting them skilled in teaching the Word. And I got to thinking, maybe different ministry situations, that wouldn't really be your high value priority in terms of ministry. And so in some ways, it might have been better if there had been an overall ministry evaluation for you. But I feel like you can do your own specific evaluating, but the real purpose of these was to see if you're having direction in your ministry. I mean, the real purpose of the evaluation was to see if you're planning and to see if you're evaluating. And then I think the last question on most of the sections, did you get accomplished what you felt like you wanted to get accomplished. But as far as the accomplishment, success, or failure, that was not a high priority on the evaluation. But hopefully it stirred up in you, am I planning? If so, great. If not, do I need to be encouraged a little bit to do some more planning? And probably we all can be encouraged in those areas. I really do want, hope you can put on some tennis shoes in your minds, because we're going to try to do some fast things in the next few minutes. I've given you some things in your chairs or couches, whatever you're sitting on. You might just put those away until we come to them. And I didn't want to be presumptuous on sharing what I've done as the key or the ace that you'll want to use, but hopefully you can get some ideas from some of these evaluation tools. But why evaluate? We could probably brainstorm on this all afternoon, but let me share with you three reasons that I feel like evaluation is important in the ministry. Number one, it helps to harness and sustain the initial momentum of a new plan or an objective. It helps to harness and sustain the initial momentum of a new plan or objective. In other words, it helps to clarify the objective, to determine the effectiveness, to attest assumptions that you may have. Well, gee, I wonder if this will work in this situation. And as you take the time to evaluate, it'll be a tool in which you can harness and sustain the momentum. And I know one of the most effective things, we didn't do this last year, but one of the most effective things that Ralph and I did this year is we had a weekly evaluation after each of our weekly freshman meetings. And we'd sit down and it was like, well, honey, what'd you think? How did it go? Did you think we were building teamness? What'd you think about the content? And we just went through and evaluated, well, do you think that really helped us in this area? What did you think about what we did in terms of group praying? And it was amazing how having that type of evaluation, we left the evaluation time every week more excited about our objectives of getting the freshmen into the Word, having a quiet time, and having them reaching out to their own peers. And so evaluation will keep up that momentum. And so that's a prime objective. Another thing I did this semester is I met a girl came up to me, I guess it was around Christmas, and said, I'd really like to be with you in leading a Bible study this semester. I'd like to see how you do it. And this put a real challenge on me, because we sat down every week after our Bible study, and she really put kind of the squelch on me, because she would come in asking questions, well, what about this? What do you think about this person's response? But it was the first time that I'd really sat down and had almost the forced opportunity of having a weekly evaluation over the Bible study. And it kept us on track, and the sense of just, God, this is what you called us to do. Are we doing it? And so the weekly evaluation or a semester evaluation, whichever one, whatever the type of evaluation God will lead you to, will help you harness the initial momentum that God set before you. The second thing that I believe that evaluation does, and this is real obvious, but it will allow for timely and appropriate adjustments to be made. It'll allow for timely and appropriate adjustments to be made. In other words, you'll discover the difficulties and it'll encourage improvement. I know one of the things that Ralph and I learned, this was as a result of the end of the semester evaluation, we only had the freshman ministry team year before last, starting in the spring semester. And one of our objectives was that we would encourage the freshmen to reach out to their classmates in terms of evangelistic efforts. And so we got them together, and one of the ways that we encouraged this is that we decided that they could come up with their own ways of reaching out evangelistically to their class. And so they came up with bizarre things. They came up with a freshman gong show and a freshman talent show and all these kind of things, but they decided to have them over at the Baptist Student Union. Well, we decided to go on with that, but we didn't have very many non-Christians coming over to the Baptist Student Union for non-Christian outreach activities. And we began to realize, oh, that's probably not a very wise choice of activities. And so as a result of that, we thought we really need to help the freshmen develop a mindset for the non-Christian. And so this past semester, the thing that we did is we had a lot of activities, a lot of group dynamics, helping them develop more of a mindset for the non-Christian before we gave them the opportunity to design activities to reach out to their non-Christian classmates. And it was amazing, the difference. It was not so much in terms of activities over at the BSU, but going in groups to the Pizza Hut or to a movie, and the results were tremendous in terms of just improvement. So evaluation will allow for timely and appropriate adjustments to be made. And then the third thing, and this is ultimately the primary objective of evaluation, is that it enables you to major on the majors. It lets you see the successful things and shows you the way to success. And so that's why we need to evaluate in those areas. Let me run over some things as far as some concepts just in the area as far as how to evaluate. And here again, I know some of you have probably come up with your own method or your own concept of evaluation, but those of you that haven't, hopefully there'll be some concepts in here that'll be of help. First of all, in terms of evaluating, I would strongly encourage you to decide what you want to evaluate. A lot of times there's a tendency to just evaluate a program, which is good. We'll get into some of the different things to evaluate, some of the different aspects of evaluation. But even that in itself, it's good to have perhaps a general evaluation. But even in evaluating, I would encourage you to even get more specific. What is it that you want to evaluate? You know, is it the length of the Bible study? Is it the material that you're using with the girl that you're working with? But determine what specifically it is that you want to evaluate, and that will help your evaluation and the end effectiveness a lot more. And then the second thing is determine how often or when to measure effectiveness. And we'll get into this a little bit more on Saturday when we get down to specifically planning, but I would encourage you girls, I know most of y'all are busier than I am, and I think I'm pretty busy, but I'd go on and get your evaluation times on the calendar. But decide if it's going to be weekly, if it's going to be monthly, if it's going to be at the end of a semester, but how often and when you want to evaluate. That'll save a lot of time. If you're like me, it'll be the end of the semester and you'll think, oh, evaluation. And I forgot all the in the meantime. The third thing is to determine the best method. Determine the best method to obtain information. Going back to the first one on determining what you want to measure, let me give you five things that I think are key in at least deciding what you want to measure. I usually try to measure all of these, and it takes some time, and it takes even some planning for these, but I think in the long run it really helps in you getting a hand on the effectiveness of what you're doing. One is to measure your objectives. Go back and look at your objectives one by one. Well, did we really lead the freshmen to the point where at the end of the semester they were having a daily quiet time? Is that a good objective? I mean, is that possible? Did we really help the freshmen in such a way that they were reaching out to their freshman friends? But go back and evaluate your objectives. A second thing is to evaluate the program or the plan. And I know when I was working at Baylor, we came up with this elaborate program of reaching the freshmen. We called it basic training. We didn't like the word boot camp, but it was basically from that concept. We came up with this elaborate program of we'd get the sophomores to teach the freshmen, and we came up with this tremendous curriculum. Debbie, I don't know if Robbie led a group or not, but the program, as we evaluated it, was great. I mean, the structure was great. And I think if we hadn't gone through and evaluated some of the specifics of the program, like another thing that you'll probably want to evaluate would be the instructional input. What is the curriculum you're using? Or the way that the plan is carried out. But we found some fallacies in the materials that we used and in the way that we implemented the plan. But the program was great. So that might be something that you'd want to evaluate differently. Is my plan good? Is meeting twice a week or once a week good with a girl? Is that good? But to evaluate the program or the plan apart from some other things. Another thing would be how the program is implemented. In other words, how is it carried out? And this is something that we found in the Baylor ministry. The plan of having the sophomores to lead the small group Bible studies of freshmen was great. But we found out that implementing the plan, carrying it out, often fell down because of just inexperienced leaders or due to the lack of faithfulness of the leaders or the lack of experience, or, you know, some weeks the leaders wouldn't even show up, or about halfway through the semester the leaders would fall out. Or another thing, we went from some weeks we had small group meetings in the dorms, another week we'd have big mass meetings on campus. And we found out that the students didn't like the big mass meetings. And so it was good for us to realize they liked the overall program. They just didn't like the ways that we were implementing. Is that making sense, the difference between the program and the way it's carried out? Another thing to look at, to evaluate, is in the curriculum or the instructional input. And here again, we spent all summer trying to organize this elaborate freshman plan, and the whole month of August, the staff was up day and night putting together this curriculum. We were compiling material from all over the place, and it looked great, but we found out as we got into the semester that the freshmen, about midweek, were, if you saw them out on campus, they were dragging around, their tongue was falling out, hanging on the ground. It was just too much for them to try to get through during the week. And so the next year we cut back on it. This past, I guess it was a year ago, I started working with a girl, and she sensed that she didn't have an adequate concept of God, and especially of the inner working of the Holy Spirit. And so I got away and thought through what would be good for us to go through, and I think it's book 3 of the RPL is on the work of the Holy Spirit. So I thought, well, that'll be great. We'll just go through this little book and spend some time in application and prayer. And I guess it was about our third meeting. She came in and she opened her book, and it was just Dudsville. It was awful. And I tried to go through. It was one of these fill-in-the-blank booklets, and I could tell it was just not meeting her needs. And so as we got to talking, she was still interested in the subject. She was still interested in us getting together, but she just hated those fill-in-the-blanks. And so as we had time to evaluate, you know, we could have just said, oh, gosh, she just hates the time, we'll never meet again. You know, she never wants to be discipled. That wasn't it. It was just that as far as where she was and what she needed, that type of curriculum or instructional input was not good. And so as we evaluated that, we got rid of that and got into some tapes and to just some personal Bible studies. So apart from your objectives, the overall program or plan, the program implementation, how it's carried out, the instructional input, the last one, and it is a key one, is the development of your people. How is that done? So these are some things. You may want to choose to just evaluate one. You may want to go through all of these, but I think these are key at least to look at in terms of evaluation. As a matter of fact, we use this a lot at the end of our freshman this semester. We had an evaluation where they evaluated Ralph and I, and they helped us evaluate. That's usually how we will do our evaluation. Is that what you were talking about, Barb?
How to evaluate, what did you mean by determine the best method to obtain information?
Okay. I jotted down 3, and that's moving on to the next point. I kind of gave you the overall umbrella, and then I'm going back under these topics. But one would be a statistical evaluation. Now, I don't get into those because I'm not real mathematically oriented, but you could come up with the percentage of non-Christians reached that year, the percentage of those growing, the percentage of those involved in Bible study. But one type would be a statistical. Another would be a descriptive, and that would be them simply writing out, maybe answering some questions that you would give them. Are you sitting down? You did a descriptive evaluation today. You may want the people that you're working with to write out a descriptive evaluation, answering some questions, or you may have some questions that you would want to just, is that making sense?
Yes, statistical would then, if they're pretty much to a
big group ministry.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm doing, just, you know, me and a couple of girls.
Mm-hmm. Unless you wanted to really break it down and say Sally is having her quiet time, you know, 95% of the time. I mean, Chuck Madden really challenged me in that area. He was always coming up with, our kids are in the Word 85% of, you know, but I never really got into that. Small mind. And then the third thing, and these, again, are just nutshells. We could probably come up with a lot of different types of methods, but would be the personal observation. And this is, I don't sit down with every girl that I meet with and give them out a big evaluation. It's usually personal observation. There may be sometimes that I think this semester I had a question sheet that we sat down and worked through, but as far as the method, those are at least three methods that you could use: the descriptive, the statistical, and then personal observation. So these are some things to determine before you enter into your evaluation. Do the evaluation and then make the necessary corrections that are needed. And some things that I just jotted down that I think these are real logical. I imagine, you know, you would think, well, that makes sense. But as far as making correction, as you get your evaluations back, if there are any problems or a problem, identify the problem. Like, for instance, if you're working with a group of people, going back to the freshman program at Baylor, we realized that curriculum was just too much. I mean, they would have been up night and day all week to get it done and their answers prepared for. So we identified the problem, that one of the problems that year with the freshman ministry was the curriculum. And so the second step in moving toward correction would be to identify what's needed to solve the solution. In other words, we needed some different curriculum, and we needed some curriculum that wasn't as long and didn't require as much outside time. And the third step then would be to arrive at alternatives. And we looked at some different books. We looked at some different materials that different people had put out for the next year. But we tried to arrive at some alternatives. The fourth step is to select the best alternative. Decide what's best, select the best alternative, and then number five is to build in that into your program. Build in the implementation. And then number six, in time, evaluate your decision. And so that real hurriedly, identify the problem. Establish the need and for the solution, what is needed to come up with a solution. And then three, arrive at alternatives. Four, select the best alternative. Five, build in for correction. And six, evaluate your decision with time. Becky?
Do you find in your evaluation that the men are, again, much more objective in it? And, like, do you ever find yourself just getting hyped out about, oh, this is failing? And, like, every example you gave just a minute ago was, this plan didn't work, and I worked with this girl, and I had this book, and then she just didn't go with it. You know, that would have really, at this point, that would have really bothered me. I would have taken that real person, well, my real plan didn't work, so I'll just say forget it, you know. But you haven't conveyed anything other than, well, this didn't work, so we'll just move on.
I think that's come from trial and error, you know, like the first, I fight that, you know, and especially, I think in my first years of ministry, I thought, well, if I was spiritual enough, I would come up with the first plan that worked right off. And I begin to realize that's part of the planning process and part of the co-laboring with God. And there's so many unknowns in planning. We start out and we choose a way. And, you know, the ditch would be, I can't remember what person it was that came in, maybe Linda, the fear of...
Do you find that the men are a good balance in just being objective?
Yeah.
And like one thing that I learned, kind of, it was a real shock to me. With a girl that I was working with, I,
she had a problem. I listened to a tape with her during our personal time. And I mean, she would start talking during the tape. I mean, she was talking. And I told Carolyn about that. She said, oh, don't ever do that with things. But I mean, they can't stand it.
And I would have loved it. I mean,
I had done that with another student who didn't have the same temperament, and she loved it. And we talked about the tape and everything. So, you know, it seems like it just depends on the person and the unit.
Yeah. I don't know that. I think principle-wise, you can learn some things that are universal, but that's why it's so important to know the situation. And like, going out to Seattle, I was really at a loss. I didn't even have anything backlogged to evaluate from. I had started out trial and error. And I knew some of the especially Baptist programs that I'd used quite easily at Baylor were not going to work out in the Northwest. And I kind of expected them to, I think. You know, I went out and wanted to pass out flyers inviting people to the Baptist Student Union. That just didn't work. So I think it goes back again to evaluating the uniqueness of each situation. And sometimes there are so many unknowns, you don't have a handle on it. It probably took you that experience to realize, oh, this tape ministry is not going to work with this girl. Yeah. Any other questions? Deb?
I just have a question about when you're beginning. I know you do it with the staff. When you're planning for your particular area, do you find it most helpful, like just be away from everybody and try to get everything lined up, or do you
if I could put that off until Saturday, we'll be getting into to planning then, or we could talk about it later. I've done some things in your chairs. If you could look at the one basic training evaluation questionnaire. Now, this was a tool that was designed. It might be something that you could use. This was mainly to evaluate the program. In the program implementation, the way that the program was carried out. And we gave this, now this was at the end of a semester evaluation. So Peggy, we got feedback from our students on this. And we, have, as you can look down here, we evaluated everything from, was the timing good? Was the balance between getting them all together in a mass meeting to the weekly small group meetings? We evaluated the leaders. Not from the standpoint of, you know, being the spiritual FBI over their life, but to see if we also worked with the leaders. So it was an evaluation of the individual leaders as well as were we helping to equip the leaders. So this might be a possibility. Again, I'm not adhering that you copyright this and use this, but an example of something that you might want to use to give out to your people to help evaluate the program, to get their input. And we found it very, very helpful. The one basic training leaders weekly evaluation, this was something that we used each week with our leaders. It built in an evaluation for us to see if the groups were running effectively, and it also was an evaluation sheet for the leaders to think through things. And it helped the leaders to have some questions for them to think through. Not, again, just to have a series of questions for them to run through each week, but so that they could, like I know some girls would come in and, gosh, I'm down to one person showed up in my group this week. Well, we went back and looked at her evaluations, and the last 3 weeks she hadn't been visiting or doing anything. So it helped me to be able to realize, well, why don't we spend some time out in the dorm this week? And so this, again, you might say was an evaluation of the program implementation, but it helped us to get a handle on how effectively the groups were run. I'm not sure what I think this is yellow, basic training evaluation self-inventory. This was drawn up to help evaluate the people development. That was another possible area that you'd want to evaluate. And I've used this as a what I guess people in the education field would call we gave this out as a pre-evaluation and a post-evaluation. We had them fill this out, I think, one of our first meetings. And then at the end of the semester, we had them to fill this out too. And it helped to show us progress in areas. It was also a personal inventory for them oh, I'm not reading the Bible daily. Maybe that's something that I need to do. So these are just some tools that I've given out to you, and we'll pray that the Holy Spirit will make application or make it creative in your own ministry and situation. I've also used this not so much in terms of I've used it more in terms of a large ministry, but I've also used it just on a personal one-on-one basis. We walk through these things, and I've shared with the girl where I am, and she shared with me where she is, and it's been real fun as far as just a one-to-one evaluation. But the main thing is that we don't rely on tools, but that we just see them as channels that can make our planning, that can make the time that God has given us to walk with another life and to rub hearts with another life the most effective. And we're humans, we're limited. As much information as the Holy Spirit will allow us to get, I think that we should get, so that we really can be the faithful servants and stewards of the ministry that God gives us, whether it's over a mass of 200 girls, whether it's working with one or two in a discipling relationship, or even beginning to get a feel of what it's going to take to plan our time to build evangelistic contacts. But the emphasis this afternoon has been on, we need to be women that know our situation, that know the situation well enough that we can branch out and plan most effectively. And so that's where we'll be going Saturday, is after we get a feel, after we're fully aware of where we are, how do we begin to plan from there? Any questions, or Mindy?
I wanted to know, how often do you all evaluate the whole ministry, like the goals that you set,
I'm not really in on that. Carolyn would.
We do. It would probably be better to do it more frequently, but we do it at the end.
I guess you took a week right at the end of school, and yeah, I'm not in on that. So, any other questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer, and you'll have a little time before dinner. Father, we thank you that you've called us to be people that live orderly lives. You've called us to be stewards. And God, I think that it was real exemplary when Christ sent out the disciples, and then he called them back, and they spent some time evaluating what they'd experienced as they went out and told people, and what they felt, and what they were going through, and we're just excited that you've called us and even counted us worthy for a ministry. And so we pray that we'd be teachable stewards, that we'd be the most effective of the channels and the worlds that you've placed us in. And I've been challenged even this afternoon, as I've shared in my own life, to be more aware, to be more alert of situations. And so I pray that you would build into our lives a spirit of alertness, a spirit of keenness, a spirit of awareness, that we could be the people that know how you're working, where you're working in our worlds. And we desire to co-labor with you in whatever way that you call us to. And it's just in Jesus' name that we thank you that we even have the capacity to do that. Amen.